This is Digital Story Podcast number 612, December 5th, 2017. Today's theme is So Much News, So Little Time. I'm Derek Story. There's been a flurry of announcements, updates, and releases lately. Who says there's nothing new and interesting in the world of photography? So this week I thought I'd share a handful of lightning talks to bring you up to speed. So buckle up and let's go. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's right, we're going to, I have a number of smaller pieces this week, and we're just going to get caught up in the world of photography. We're just going to blaze through these. Lots going on in the world of software and hardware and all sorts of good stuff. And the first one I want to talk about is Capture One Pro 11 is out. So they updated the processing engine on that, and they have some new headline features. Annotations, I think, is at the top of the list. So you can now annotate your images in Capture One by adding handwritten notes and drawings directly on your images. Now, presumably, this is for communication with clients or touch-up artists and so forth. But obviously, you know, this can be used any number of ways. And so that's kind of fun. We have Markup in Photos, which also does that. And I love it. I use it all the time. I think it's really nice. Another thing in Capture One Pro 11 is the layered workflow. They've really worked hard on this. We've always had layers in Capture One Pro, but we couldn't use all the tools, all the adjustment tools. And now in 11, all of the adjustment tools are compatible with layers. And then they've worked on the, you know, kind of the whole, that whole area, that whole localized editing area and so forth. So I think that's a very nice improvement also. And then they said that they've picked up the editing speed. So they've rewritten some code. Speed is always good. So lots of goodies here. In terms of compatibility, it works with both Mac OS High Sierra and Sierra. It also works on Windows, so it works on both platforms. I've had one listener who said that he was having some problems with High Sierra, and he's in the middle of kind of getting that sorted out yet. I haven't updated yet to the final version of 11. I had some beta versions that I was using on a test machine, but I'll probably wait a week or so just to make sure that, you know, everything is sorted out on that. The upgrade price is $119. And if you're a Capture One Pro 10 user, in all honesty, I think you're in good shape, you know, for a couple weeks, for a month, while we just make sure that Capture One Pro 11 is ready for prime time. I'm assuming that it is. 10 works great, and I think, you know, we can wait and see. And maybe there'll be an 11.1 or 11.01, and then we're good to go. Exciting news, I'm going to be recording about it before too awfully long. And like I said, when I download the final version and use it a bit, if I see anything that you should be aware of, I'll make sure I make it a spot on the podcast. Another piece of interesting news is that the DxO-1 camera is going to be made available for Android devices. And I think this is pretty neat. I have a DxO-1 and I really like it. I use it with iPhone. It had been iPhone only from the very beginning that it came out. But they decided to do an Android version of it, and has a 1-inch sensor, 20 megapixels, f1.8, very nice lens, captures in RAW. The software, the DxO software that you can use either with Photos or standalone, is terrific. It's really good software. Really gets the most out of that camera. So there's a couple options on this if you're an Android user and you are interested in this camera. You can wait for the official launch of the DxO-1 for Android, which will be a few months from now. Or you can take part in their early access program that's going right now. And that program, for $499, you get an Android version of the DxO-1. You get an outdoor shell. That's normally $59 for that. And you get the new software, the DxO Photo Lab. That's normally $199. You can get the whole package for $499. Camera, outdoor shell, and Photo Lab. As always, I have the links to where you need to go for all this stuff in the show notes. So all you have to do is go to the show notes, click on the link, and it'll take you right over if you want to sign up for this. So anyway, DX01 is going to be for Android devices now, and I think that's pretty exciting stuff. It doesn't have quite all the features out of the gate that the iPhone version does, the iOS version, but that's to be expected. But knowing those guys, they'll get it caught up very fast. Another interesting piece of news is that Pixelmator Pro is out, and this is for Mac only. And we've been seeing this avalanche of high-end software for photographers lately. It's really great. So I'm going to read you what the Pixelmator folks are saying. The Pixelmator team has packed a wide range of features and innovations into Pixelmator Pro, such as full RAW support, including support for multiple RAW layers, HEIF file format compatibility, superior support for Adobe Photoshop images, complete Mac OS integration via full support for iCloud, versions, tabs, full screen, split view, sharing, wide color, and others, a Metal 2 powered painting tools with dual texture brushes, powerful retouching, reshaping, selecting, type, shape, and vector tools, and a lot more. Well, that's quite a bit there. In addition, a number of free updates adding major new features to Pixelmator Pro are already lined up for the very near future. It's going to be available for $59.99 in the Mac App Store. Now, anyone that's used Pixelmator in the past knows that of all the apps for the Mac, these have been the guys that really seem to know how to tap all those core technologies in Mac OS. The app always runs, Pixelmator always runs very well. It's very fast. It just feels at home on a Mac. So what they've decided to do is, you know, take that core of what they've been doing for a long time, and then really just take it to a new level and make it a professional level tool. And, you know, the thing that you get with Pixelmator that you don't get with some of the other apps is that you also get painting tools and you get vector tools and so forth. I mean, this is an app for not only photographers, but people who just, you know, love imaging and graphics and, you know, in combining things and so forth. So I haven't tested the new version out yet, but I think it's pretty exciting news. And, you know, these guys are players as well. So we are enjoying a real cornucopia of great software right now. Pixelmator being added to that bounty. I don't know if you've seen this piece. Samsung's new W2018 flip phone features a variable aperture f1.5 to 2.4 lens. And the picture of this device, and it is a flip phone. The picture of this device is just, I mean, they really threw out the dog for this. Samsung just announced something that looks like it belongs in the mid-2000s, but looks can be deceiving. By the way, this post here, yeah, DP Review. Want to make sure I give them credit here. Anyway, but looks can be deceiving. Meet Samsung's new flip phone, the W2018. Announced at an event in China, the follow-up to the W2017 is an Android-powered flip phone that boasts smartphone-caliber specs. In fact, the 12-megapixel rear camera is nearly identical to the one found in the Galaxy S8. Featuring dual-pixel autofocus, optical image stabilization, and lots of other goodies. It does differ in one very interesting way, though. Not only does the W2018 boast an f1.5 aperture, the brightest you'll find on a phone, that aperture is actually variable, switching between f1.5 and 2.4 when it senses there's enough light around. In that way, the phone automatically captures as much of the background as possible. And they even have a little video that goes with that, and you can watch it in action. So this baby is going to cost you close to $3,000, though. So it's neat. And if you miss the flip phone factor, but yet you still want all the cool stuff that comes with a state-of-the-art smartphone, and you have $3,000 to spend on your phone, then this might be something for you. But I would love just to test it, just to hold it and just see how this thing works. Personally, I liked flip phones when they're out. You know, there's something neat about, you know, after a call being able to just, you know, flip that thing closed. Although if it's a $3,000 phone as opposed to, I don't know what I used to spend on them, $100, whatever, I might not flip it with quite as much panache when I'm done with the call. Okay, let's move on. Hasselblad launches its own online store, offers 5% off for a limited time. So yeah, here we go. Hasselblad's going online store here. Iconic medium format manufacturer Hasselblad has opened its own online store, allowing users all over the world to skip the third-party vendors and local dealer and buy direct from the manufacturer itself. Following in the footsteps of Hasselblad's first brick-and-mortar stores in Sweden, China, and Japan, the online Hasselblad store will open to residents of the United States, China, UK, Germany, and France. Currently, the Hasselblad store is selling both the X1D and H6D cameras, as well as a limited number of lenses. Opening offers include 5% off some of the X1D kits, and the body-only price, while H6D buyers can get a free hard case with their purchase. Now, these discounts will last only until December 7th. So hopefully you're listening to the podcast right away, right after it's published, so that you'll have time to go over to the Hasselblad store and drop some serious coin. Boy, these last two stories cost us a lot of money, both of them out of my league. Of course, I have a link to the story in the show notes, so you can pursue this if you wish. If you've been waiting for the right moment to buy a Hasselblad X1D or H6D, this may be it for you, and you can do it from the comfort of your couch. And finally, this little batch of stories that I have for you. Think Tank announces the Airport Advantage Plus. So I got a mail on this the other day from Think Tank. You know, despite having roller design, retractable metal handle, and protections for your gear, the Airport Advantage Plus weighs only 6.9 pounds. This is a roller to help you keep your carry-on under weight restrictions. It also has a dedicated padded 17-inch laptop pocket. And as far as gear capacity goes, the bag holds a gripped DSLR with attached lens, another ungripped DSLR with attached lens, plus 5 to 8 additional lenses. So yeah, you can still get a lot of stuff in there. If you're a mirrorless camera user, Think Tank says it can hold 2 bodies with a crazy amount of lenses. I don't know too many, in all honesty, too many mirrorless users, at least still photographers, who are using rollers. In terms of the largest lens you can fit inside, a Think Tank states that you can hold a detached 200 to 400 millimeter lens, I'm assuming that's the Canon, with the lens hood reversed into the barrel. So you got a roller, weighs basically 7 pounds, supposedly fits just on any plane, and you can get it for $289.75. You can get that directly from Think Tank Photo. And of course, I have a link in the show notes. And that just came out just a few days ago. So there we go. Now we're all caught up on, you know, some of the most interesting news of late. Some pretty good stuff going on both software and hardware world. Hope you're feeling as up to speed as I am now. What do you do with your prints? So, first of all, I have to say something. I have a confession to make. I'm not very good on the Facebook posts that you guys put on there sometimes, the questions or whatever. And what happens is that, you know, well, in all honesty, everything is such a blur right now. And there are some things I've been working on I can't even talk about yet, that I'll go a week or so at a time, you know, without checking what's on there. So if there's been a delayed response, this is what I'm trying to get to here. If there's been a delayed response from me, or even an acknowledgement, I'm sorry, but know that I do get to them sooner or later. I do get to them, okay? This one I actually got to fairly fast, but it was just pure luck. I have to tell you, it was just pure luck. So Robin posted this question that I thought I should talk about on the show here. Robin writes, "Hey, Derek, you talk a lot about printing, but you never say what you do with those prints. Do you mat them, put them in glassine envelopes, some kind of archival storage, or frame them? If I were to print my 2017 top 10, I'm thinking I would do 8x10s, mat them but not frame them because I don't have the wall or storage space." So that was a question comment there. And I thought it was really good because you're right, Robin. I talk about printing all the time, but I haven't lately anyway really talked about what do I do with all that. So I was just going to break that down real fast. So yes, since we're near the end of 2017 now, the thing that you've heard me talk about before, where you make, you know, 6 or 12 prints, depending on how much time you have, of your best stuff. So make really nice print of either your 6 best shots or your 12 best shots, and then put them in archival storage. And the reason why I think that's such a great idea is that over time, let's say over a 10-year period, you could have well over 100 images archivally stored. And it's the stuff that, you know, you really like. It's the stuff that you admire. It's the stuff that you think is important. And it's preserved. So it's independent of any computer, any hard drive, any cloud, any of that. You don't have to have software to look at it. You don't need anything. All you have to do is open the archival box, turn on the light, and enjoy them. And even to the point of that, if you wanted to go Brent Weston and just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to erase all my hard drives, and I have 1 foot out the door here, and what I have left behind printed, that's all there is. Because then you know that there's not going to be any garbage left behind, okay? So that's one thing that I do. Another thing that I do is a lot of my printing is fine art greeting cards. And I have to say that, you know, when I discovered fine art greeting cards and how easy Red River Paper makes it, because they have the 7x10 paper cuts that are scored, and they have the envelopes, they have the glassines, they have everything. When I discovered that world, that became printing that not only was accessible, not only it didn't cost me a lot, you know, because you're only printing, you know, a relatively small area. In terms of answering your question, Robin, I had stuff I could do with those. I could share them. I could get them out there. I could use them as thank you notes. I could use them any number of ways, and I do use them all the time. And people truly appreciate them. So a lot of the printing that I do ends up on fine art cards, ends up in other people's hands. And I even keep a few of them around the studio. My favorite cards of late, I just have them setting up on the table, and I just like looking at them. So a lot of my printing goes that way also. And I'll tell you, fine art greeting cards to me are alone worth the reason of having a nice printer, a printer that you like. Then I do prints for the wall. And I don't put a lot of prints on the wall, but I have some, and I tend to rotate them. You know, and one thing that you can do in this particular area is that designate a space or two in your home or in your office, wherever you want to do this, for your own work. And it doesn't have to be a lot of space. It can be just one wall, or it can be just one corner, or wherever. And then rotate work through it. So let's say that you only have room for 2 or 3 prints. So you do your first 2 or 3 prints. You have them hanging up. And then a month later, you know, you're printing and you make a print that you really like, and then substitute out one of those three prints for the new one. And just sort of keep this you know, rotating show going in this area of your house or your office. That is fun. It doesn't take up a lot of space, and people will come over and they'll notice this stuff, and it's always a nice little conversation when they do. So that is another thing that I like to do with my output. And then finally, the fourth thing that I do with printed things, and this is a commercial thing, when I'm hired to deliver, you know, let's say a nice shoot, you know, some shoots that I do, you know, I'm delivering 60, 80 images. But some shoots that I do, I'm just delivering one or two, and they're being used for a specific purpose. Like, it's going to be a file that's going to be made into a billboard or something like that. On those kinds of shoots, before I deliver the electronic file, I make at least an 8x10 print, or sometimes I'll make a 13x19 print, and just really look at what I'm doing there. And I can't tell you how many times I've made some really important adjustments based on that print. So in that case, I'm using printing as a proofing technique just to make sure I am totally confident in that digital file before I send it out. And that makes me sleep a lot better at night. So those are the main areas that I do with my printing. And I'm sure there's lots more. This time of year, of course, we're coming into the time of year where gift cards and prints as gifts can be very valuable. So you might want to fire up that old printer, make sure that the ink is in good shape, make sure you have enough paper, and be ready to go. Video blocks, their most popular winter footage. And I know that's kind of a interesting headline. But one of the things that I like about video blocks, and I've been talking about them for a few weeks now, is that they regularly update their homepage. So when I go over there, I usually see something new, and I dig that. I like that a lot. So today when I went over there, they had our most popular winter footage there. And I go, how timely is that? You know, it's very seasonal for those of us here in North America. So I clicked on it. And here are some of the snippets that I had available to me. There's a whole bunch of them, but I'm just going to read you a few of them here. Sunset view of a snowy mountain. Tree branches covered in snow. Serene lake by mountains. Winter snow coating top of trees. And there were many more. So, you know, what's so neat about this is that, okay, let's say that you're going to do a holiday movie. Let's say that your family gathers, and let's say maybe you celebrate Christmas, your family does, and you want to do a little movie about that. So that's great. You have all the things that you want to shoot, the gift opening, the gathering around afterwards, you know, having dessert and coffee, the meal itself, maybe some goodbyes, you know, things like that. And that's all really good footage. But think about how you could really finish that off by when you have the opening to your movie, after you get all the stuff that you want, and your opening starts with winter snow coating on top of trees, where you have the title, you have this really nice scene for a second that really sets the mood, and then you dissolve into the action itself. So then you have all the action, you know, all the little pieces of your storyboard, and then you're ready to have a closing title, maybe a little bit of music. And then, so maybe you do the sunset view of a snowy mountain as you take the viewer out of the event itself and lead them through the credits with a little bit of music. And you can visualize how this can really improve your productions. And this is where you're just doing stuff for you, your family, your friends. Maybe put it up on YouTube or Vimeo, which you can do because this is all royalty-free content. And it really is the icing on the cake. So that's another area that I think video blocks is just so helpful for content creators such as ourselves. They do this other thing, by the way, called these bonus clips. And the one today was Lake Tahoe winter landscape. And I just want to read you what they put on there because it's kind of fun. Why spend hundreds filming an epic flyover of Lake Tahoe when you can download this clip from the member library instead? We're happy to include this stunning shot with your membership. Yeah, and of course I downloaded it. And I have it, you know, in my stock footage library, and you never know. And it's just a really cool shot. So this is another way to look at the service video blocks, which is, you know, just going over there once a week or so and seeing what's going on and maybe, you know, sparking your creativity a bit and going, you know what? I was thinking about maybe doing a family thing, a little movie. And now that I have this cool footage available to me, I'm really excited about it. And off to the races you go. All of this is available to you for $149 a year. And you could spend, you know, half that much just on one clip. And all you got to do is click on the tile, the digital story, the story blocks tile, and that'll take you right over to our landing page. You can have all of this available to you. And I just think they've organized it well. They have a lot of content, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm really happy to have them as part of our podcast. Speaking of videos, I just posted to myself for our Inner Circle members. So as I promised, and as we'll be doing throughout 2018, I posted our December Nimble software titles. And one of them that I posted was localized editing in Capture One Pro. It's funny, I was just talking about working with layers and localized editing. Well, this is, I think it's a 40-minute video where I just walk you through all the steps that we do on this one image. I think it ends up having like five layers or something. Graduated screen, layers for working on, you know, lightening the trees, layers for brightening up the hillside, layers for adding more, you know, punch to the buildings, you know, all this kind of stuff. Just walk you through it. So that's one of the videos that went up. And then the other one is something that, I mean, it's not rocket science, but I figured it out for photos for macOS High Sierra, which is they added this new filtering pop-up. And when I say filtering, I mean you can filter your images via this pop-up. And I just developed this really neat technique that allows you to now suddenly have star ratings and color labels for your images and photos, which is something that a lot of people have wanted. And that's, I believe that video is, I think it's around 20 minutes or so. And it's a video that I really like that I think is super useful. And already a few folks have commented on it. Raphael wrote, a great video provides me with new ideas for an efficient workflow to manage my photos. Thanks. And Greg added, thank you, Derek. This was really valuable. And I got two exclamation marks on that one from Greg. So these videos are available to all of our Inner Circle members, and Inner Circle members are folks who pledge $5 or more a month. All you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the digital story, either to sign up, or if you're already a Patreon member and you want to get to those videos, you should have received an email. But if you misplaced your email, at any time, if you want to watch these movies that are available to you, just click on the Patreon tile. It should take you to your page. Make sure you're logged in. And you should see those videos right there, front and center. And we're going to keep doing this. I am having a blast with this. And I think you're going to get a lot of really nice content that will help you when you work on your images on your computer. More benefits coming in 2018 for our Inner Circle members. Not to mention, they're helping to support this podcast. All right, just two final notes here before I wrap up. First one, I got a note from Drew at Red River Paper this week, and he says that they put a new offer on our landing page and free ground shipping for all inkjet paper items with no minimum purchase required. Free ground shipping. All you have to do is use the promo code STORYSHIPIT, all one word, STORYSHIPIT, to receive free ground shipping on all of their inkjet paper items. And that's, of course, the good folks at Red River Paper, who supply all of the things that I run through my printer. And as I told you, I've been such a huge fan of the fine art greeting cards. And boy, if there's a time of year to be making fine art greeting cards, it's right now. So a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. If you want to see the landing page and check out everything that's going on, just click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. And they also have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. And finally, I just want to mention that we have B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story. They're in the second column there. If you're going to do a little shopping on either of those sites, if you just go to those tiles first and then get over to the site that way and search for what you want, it helps support our site. And I'm very grateful for that. Very grateful for our Patreon members and, you know, all the different things that you guys do to really help keep this ball rolling. Alrighty, well, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you had fun with the show. I'm heading out to South Carolina tomorrow morning at 3 a.m. And you'll learn more about what I'm doing there a little bit, next podcast, actually. Next podcast, I'll tell you what I'm up to. Until then, have a great week, and I'll be talking to you soon. Bye-bye now.